And good morning. Welcome back. We are talking about Pearl Harbor today, and joining us right now, Ken Peach, who is probably one of the leading experts on interstate cadets. At least that's what they tell me. You probably recognize that name from the air show. He does a great air show routine. Of course, the Jelly Belly Interstate. How did you come to start doing aerobatics in an interstate anyway?
That's a pretty good story. I bought my Interstate in 1973 from my uncle Leonard, and we had a guy at the airport that was trying to build a tandem seated with a 23012 airfoil, which is the same as a T-craft airplane, and he was having trouble with certification and stuff like that. I looked out the window of our hangar, our FBO that my dad owned, and I saw Leonard's airplane sitting in the back row, and it was kind of neglected. And I went out and looked at it, and sure enough, it has the 23012 airfoil. It has a tandem seating. It's aerobatic rated because it's CAA. And I went back and I called my uncle and I bought it. And in 1974, I had heard about Chuck Driscoll out in Seattle doing an act where he dropped an aileron, and he even dropped a elevator.
Oh,
which,
my.
That's not my style. I called him, asked him if he would mind if I did his act in the Midwest, because I didn't think I was going to go to anything more than that. And he said he didn't mind, nice guy. And so I went out and took off without the aileron, about 2 feet off the ground. Next time I got a little bit higher, and then I put a parachute on and went up higher and did some aerobatic, actually, with one aileron. The airplane flies really quite well with it. It turns better to the right than to the left because of the down aileron.
Okay.
On the left side, makes it turn right. So consequently, when I do my act, I scrape the wing on the ground. I have a bag of flour out there to make it look bad, and I use, you know, the left wing because I want that down aileron into the ground effect to get out of there. And so, anyhow, it took a long time telling you how I got the Interstate, but that's it.
So an interesting point you just made is that and I don't think we see this as much anymore, but there were regional air show acts, you know.
That's right.
It's like, I'm going to do this act. I'm going to do
That's
your act
right.
in the Midwest
That's
kind of
right.
thing. And we don't see that much anymore.
No, it doesn't seem like it. And it's kind of a nice thing. I do meet a lot of regional guys when I do go around. I was an airline pilot and ended up retiring early to do this when Jelly Belly got a hold of me in 2007, which I got to say, I'm connected with a really good company. It's a family-owned company, Herm Rowland and his crew, the whole family work there. It's an old Americana capitalism company that I'm really proud to represent.
And it gives you an opportunity to have a really fancy paint scheme on your airplane as well, lots of colors.
And besides that, I get to eat the Jelly Bellies, too, besides the ones we give out at the shows.
I was going to say, you're a very popular performer, not only because you fly a great act, but you're the candy man.
Well, the thing is they know me by Jelly Belly Man, not by Ken Peach anymore,
right. Yes.
Which is fine.
That's good. So talking about Pearl Harbor, Cornelia Fort,
yep.
who was a flight instructor in Hawaii,
yep.
December 1941,
yep.
she was up flying
yep.
in an Interstate Cadet. Even though in the movie Tora, 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 I think it's a steerman that's in there.
That's right.
But it is a female flight instructor and a male student. She was out flying, and as I understand from the way it was written, they were out flying, and she thought the Army Air Corps was buzzing by her and doing a simulated run on,
right.
on her and her student. She was going to get the buzz number and report them to the authorities.
That's right.
Until she saw the the rising sun go by,
right.
and realized it was right. Something completely different.
That's all in the book Daughter of the Air by Rod Simbeck, and
okay.
she has an excerpt right in there. It says that very same thing, that that's what she saw, and she was flying the Interstate Cadet, and we believe it's 37266, mm-hmm. and there is we had a article in the January 2012 article in Smithsonian Aerospace Magazine, and it was called Pearl Harbor Mystery. And since then, Greg Anders has bought the airplane from
right.
me, and Greg has really been doing a lot of research, putting a lot of time and money into this because of the importance of Pearl Harbor. I'm feeling personally that we're getting right back close, almost the same thing, and I'm really worried about that, of course. But that being said, I want Pearl Harbor to be remembered. I have been a Pearl Harbor not since even before Tora, Tora, Tora. So when I saw Tora, 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 I really got interested. I found out that she was flying that as an Interstate, which I bought in 73, so right. I'm all over this now. Yeah. And I ended up buying six airplanes to get this airplane, to get it out here, to get it displayed. But I ran out of time. And thank God Greg Anders come along and took over. He's a Heritage Flight flyer. He flew right. F-15s. He's very knowledgeable and very... He wants it right. He wants the story correct, and he's working very hard to get it right. And we're believing that this is the airplane. We're 99% sure of it.
So after the Japanese start the attack, Cornelia takes over. She flies back to the home field, parks the airplane. They literally get out, run for cover.
Yeah.
The airplane ends up getting strafed. Another flight instructor is actually killed on the ground.
Yep.
At the
Bob
airfield.
Tice, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then basically December 7th, 1941, all civilian air, there is no more. General aviation is grounded.
That is correct.
So the airplane with bullet holes and everything is pushed to the back of the hangar.
Yep.
What happens after that?
Well, it sits there until, I believe it's 46, or 45 or 46. When, as soon as the war is over, then they get it back out again and they fix it up and they fly it. It was in Hawaii until the 1970s, and then it came back over here. And a guy from Arizona bought it, and then it just kind of stayed in disrepair for a long time. And then I bought it from Kurt Westlake out in Florida. And I, like I say, he wouldn't sell me just this airplane. So I got a whole bunch of Interstate cadets sitting up in container buildings up in Minot, North Dakota right now. But seeing as how I'm flying air shows, it's good to have the parts.
There you go.
Yeah.
When did the history of the airplane become apparent? I mean, you said that when you bought it, Kurt already knew what he had.
Yeah.
But where was the discovery kind of made?
I went, before I bought the airplane, I thought, well, you got to research it before you buy it, right? So I went and got the FAA records of this airplane, 37266, and it went there June 9th of 1941. It was being flown all the way through and up until... December 7th, 1941. It's all the records are there. It was sold at Ole Anders Flying Service on John Rogers Airport. This airplane is an accredited airplane.
Good. Now, some people have said, well, Cornelia Fort's logbooks don't reflect the same numbers because it's different, but
that's correct.
There's an explanation for that as well.
There is, and this is where Greg has really done some research on that. And Tim Talon had a picture of 347345 that she had in the logbook on December 7th, 1941, with a California Air National Guard sitting in line with a bunch of other ones. I've been out there. I've been working with the museum out there trying to get more information, but because it's air show season, I haven't done a lot of it. But that's where that airplane was. There is no way that that airplane could have got over in a time. I have my other airplane was built. My other airplane was 37361. This was 37345. Hers was built in October. Mine was built in November. There's no way mine was built November 3rd, 1941. One month and 4 days before Pearl.
Right.
This one was just a couple of weeks before, and it never went over there.
Right.
And she had in her logbook that she flew it before it was built.
Right.
So there's just no way that was a plane.
Yeah, and I think the Sport Aviation article that we actually have sitting here really goes into in-depth as to Cornelia Fort. She had her logbook. She was a very meticulous record keeper.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, after the attack on Pearl Harbor, she goes off to eventually become one of the early WASP, actually before the WASP program was official, and unfortunately is killed in a mid-air collision.
Yeah.
But she takes all of her logbooks back to her family home in Nashville.
And it burns down.
Which burns.
Yeah.
So now she, and thinking about it, her mindset at that time was she was trying to recreate logbook entries.
She wanted to be a pilot. She wanted to be an airline pilot.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's an Interstate cadet. I flew this one, and I think this is the number kind of thing. So
another thing that shows that it wasn't 37345, she put in there that it had a Continental engine.
Mm-hmm.
And a Continental engine was in 37266, but 37345 had a Franklin engine.
Okay.
And so there's another thing that shows that it was not that airplane.
Yes.
I mean, there's no way it could have been that plane.
Yeah, and it's amazing to unravel history like
that. It is. It's fun.
It's just fascinating.
Yeah, and it's got to be right. Matter of fact, you reminded me, John Fleshman from the Air and Space Magazine gave me a voicemail. I got to get back to him because we want to talk about it and relive it again and put it back in the Air and Space. I think that's what he wants, but we'll see. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Are we going to see this airplane fly this week?
Greg's going to fly it.
All right.
Yeah, and then somebody's going to shoot him down.
He's going to shoot at. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And is that tonight?
I believe it is. Yes.
All right. So if you don't, if you're not in on the information for tonight, when the day air show ends, the Boeing Centennial Plaza is going to become Pearl Harbor, 1941, December 6th.
Wow. Yeah, neat.
You know, it'll be a recreation as best we can do here.
Yeah.
And Cornelia is going to go out with her student December 7th, and who knows what happens after that.
So kind of gives you a chill, doesn't it?
It really, really does.
When you think about what happened there with all those sailors and everybody, I mean, the whole world changed. World War II started at that time when that airplane was flying.
It's amazing. Amazing story, and we appreciate you saving it and bringing it back and talking a little bit not only about this cadet, but, of course, the Jelly Belly cadet.
Yes.
And when are you flying in the air shows?
I'm flying today all three acts.
All three acts.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Now, there's weather coming in, so I think they're redoing the schedule, so it may not happen. But whatever happens, I'm just glad to be here in Oshkosh.
Excellent. Kent Peach, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. You're listening to From the Stand, and this is EAA Radio.